If you would take the scriptures now, we'll turn in them to Numbers and chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14, we're going to be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 45. Numbers chapter 14. And beginning in verse 1, these are the inerrant, infallible words of God. They are perfect, they are for our good, and they are profitable for us, and they're fully authoritative because they come from God. They are God's very words breathed out to us. Numbers chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader to return to Egypt." And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? I will strike them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." And Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear it. For by your might you brought these people up from among them, and they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. They have heard that you, Lord, are among these people, that you, Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands above them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill these people as one man, then the nations which have heard of your fame will speak, saying, 'Because the Lord was not able to bring this people to the land which he swore to give them, therefore he killed them in the wilderness.' And now I pray, let the power of my Lord be great, just as you have spoken, saying, 'The Lord is long-suffering and abundant in mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he by no means clears the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt even until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word. But truly as I live, as the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have put me to the test now these 10 times, and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn and move out into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, "How long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, 'As I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. the carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above, except for Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. But as for you, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and your sons shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and bear the brunt of your infidelity until your carcasses are consumed in the wilderness, according to the number of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days. For each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and you shall know my rejection. I, the Lord, have spoken this. I will surely do so to all this evil congregation who are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Now the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land, who returned and made all the congregation complain against him by bringing a bad report of the land, those very men who brought the evil report about the land died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh remained alive, of the men who went to spy out the land. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountain top. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. And those are God's words. The 12 spies, last chapter, spied out the land. 10 of them had brought back a bad report. They said there were good things, but then there was bad things. And that they shouldn't go up, exaggerating the problems and then not trusting the promises of the Lord. That's what we heard last Lord's Day. This chapter is what happened because of that bad report the 10 gave. Verses 1 through 4, there was a mutiny and a rebellion of Israel after hearing it. It was against Moses and Aaron. But you see, more so this rebellion was against the Lord. For they said, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt." They wanted to go back to the slavery which the Lord had delivered them from. And so they're complaining about the Lord. Then through verse 10 we see the fruitless endeavor of Moses and Aaron as they fall down, and then also Caleb and Joshua to stop this rebellion. And then the Lord responded in verses 11 and 12 with threats of judgment due to their unbelief. Their unbelief was irrational. They had the promise of a fruitful land with the cluster of grapes that were brought back. They had the report of Joshua and Caleb. They had the almighty power of God. They had His promises. They had everything on their side. And yet they refused to believe and go into the land. And that is something we often fall into, having all these promises of God in the Scriptures. We have God Himself in us, and yet we don't believe what He says. We see here the consequences for unbelief in the people of God. And then through verse 19, Moses pleaded on behalf of them that the Lord would consider His own, God would consider His own greatness and fame, His glory, and to be merciful and faithful to His covenant people. Because what would happen if He did bring judgment upon all of Israel and destroyed all of Israel? Then the nations would mock Him. And so he calls upon the Lord to show forth continually His glory and be faithful to His promises and be merciful. And so the Lord, Moses in that prayer, acting and pointing us to Christ who mediates for us and continually intercedes for us. The Lord here then promises to not cut off, that is to not excommunicate the people of Israel, the whole nation. Yet he promises here through verse 35 that none of this congregation, none of the whole congregation of that first generation that entered the wilderness would enter the promised land. Those who are 20 years old and upward would not enter the promised land, but they would perish in the wilderness, except Caleb and Joshua. Even the other 10 faithless spies, through verse 39, died of a plague brought by the Lord as a warning to all of Israel. And so here we see in this chapter, the Lord pardoned them of their sin, and yet at the same time, He punished them for it. His mercy and His justice shown to us. And it was at the cross where this was perfectly displayed for us, the church, today. Where God's mercy to undeserving sinners is shown and His justice is fully satisfied. And then the end of the passage. Israel is rebuked for attempting to enter the land. God, a few verses before, had said, "Now don't go up. We're going to go out. You're going to go out into the wilderness. Because you've been punished." And yet, now they think, well, now we have to go up. Whatever God is saying, they do the opposite. And so they were defeated. And they were driven back. Beloved, God is not pleased when we disobey Him. He shows mercy to His people. And we often disobey again. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, "With most of them," speaking of these people in Israel, "with most of them God was not pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." And it goes on in the next verse and it says, "Now these things became our examples." This is an example for us. That's what the Lord through Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10. "Now these things became our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. They were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." We are called to, if we think we stand, take heed lest we fall. And humble ourselves before God, believing and following and obeying what He says. And that's what we're going to hear and the sermon today in Romans 8:30. Let's pray. Our gracious and merciful Father, abounding in loving kindness and steadfast love to those, to 1,000 generations of those who love You and keep Your commandments. Father, we ask that we would be those who keep Your commandments, that we would love You, that we would trust You, that what You say is true. And as we consider all the things that we hear in the world, from man, from each other sometimes, even when our emotions are riled up or we have a sinful thought and we communicate that, we often communicate that to others in the church and they hear that, we hear those kind of things, and Father, we often follow what they say and are led in our thoughts and our actions by what they say. But Father, at the end of all of it, Father, we ask that we would be satisfied in You alone. That we would listen. That we would hear as Abraham heard when You called him to sacrifice his son. And that hearing, we know, was a hearing to obey. Father, give us faith, hope, and love in Your Word. And obedience by Your Spirit and grace. Father, we confess our sins. We have broken all of Your commandments. We have not loved You with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. We have failed and sinned against You in so many ways, every day, and so much that we could not count the many times just yesterday or even this morning that we have sinned against You. And Father, we have not loved our neighbor as ourself. And the same, we could not count even what this morning we have failed to do and how we broke Your command. But Father, we plead for your mercy. And you promise, as we confess our sins and we bring them before your throne, Father, you promise that you'll cleanse us as far as the east is from the west. As we've heard in Romans, you predestined us to be conformed to the image of your Son. And so, Father, put to death the sin that remains in us and put within us righteousness. That we would walk in righteousness. And that we would be zealous for good works. Not so that we can prove, or not so that we can be justified or justify ourselves. But rather, Father, for your glory and for our good. We see here the opposite of what we just read. They heard your word and they disobeyed. And it led to their punishment and great hurt. To live predominantly the most of their days in the wilderness. Father, may that not be true of us. That you would bring us home. You would bring us into the promised land, the land flowing with milk and honey, the eternal heaven, glory with your Son, Jesus Christ. And this by your grace alone. Father, we deserve it not. We deserve the opposite. We deserve the pains of hell forever. But you are a gracious and merciful God to your people. And so we pray, even for any here who do not know you, even amongst our children who have grown up in the church and yet they have not, they might believe, they would say, if you ask them, they would say, I believe that Jesus died on the cross, so he was buried, he rose from the dead to give me life. They would agree with that. They would profess that. And yet they don't trust it for their life. We ask that you would work in them by your Holy Spirit and change their hearts and cause them to trust such truths for their lives. And they would bow the knee to Christ, as we are all to do, and submit to you in all things by your mercy and grace. And Father, we ask that you would care for our congregation, that you would watch over us. We pray for praise you that Lillian this week got a good report finally figured out what is wrong, and that the doctors can now help her. We ask that you would heal her body of this problem she's had for a very long time. And Father, we pray for Dina as well, that you would heal her completely, and that you would bless Jeannie and her knee, and anyone else here who struggles in their body right now. Even pray for Shane and his wife as their car broke down last night. Father, I pray that he would be able to fix that, and that he might be able to come to worship today, maybe even this evening. And Father, we ask for your patience for him as he works on his car. Father, we ask that you would give us humility as we come before your throne every Lord's Day. That we would fear you with that reverent fear, standing in awe, and yet in great wonder of your power and holiness. And then, Father, we pray that you would grow us in holiness and in number. Father, we pray that you would bless us in our fellowship meal today. And even the rest of our time in worship, that your name and all these things would be given glory to the praise of your name, the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And then, Father, we pray for our government, that our government would bow the knee to your Son, Jesus Christ, and they would kiss the Son, and they would love him, and they would submit to him in all things. They would make laws in accordance with your word, for the glory of your name. And then, Father, we're thankful that you have brought us thus far by your grace and by your mercy. We pray and ask that you would help us in our hearts, our souls, as we're struggling, some of us struggling a lot, not only with sin, but just the circumstances and the cares of the world. Father, encourage us in Christ, comfort us in our hearts, our grieving hearts, or our melancholy thoughts, any type of depression that we might have, or we're struggling in our mind and soul. Father, comfort us by the great comfort you have given by your Holy Spirit and through the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. Knowing that Christ sits on the throne and he is sovereign over all, and that what awaits all of us who are your children is the redemption of our bodies that will join with our souls in glory and be perfect. Father, give us hope in that day. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.